Thanks for listening to Benefit from the Bible. We believe the Bible is God's Word for our temporal and eternal benefit. God bless your listening. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, probably for most of us, we like to act on things in life that are a sure thing. For example, if we knew a particular stock was guaranteed to go from where it is now way, way up in the next year, if we could somehow, some way know that for sure, I think we would buy it. Well, today, let us be sure that Jesus really, truly is the promised Messiah, the one sent by God to defeat sin, death, and the devil. Then, as we would surely buy the stock, so by God's grace, let us surely follow our Lord Jesus Christ. Going back to our text today, we're in Matthew chapter 11, going back to verse 2, the Bible says, "Now when John, having heard in the prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word through two of his disciples and said to Jesus, 'Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?'" As I think about that question, it's a little bit of a dilemma, in a sense, for me to know for sure what was going on there. In other words, was John himself truly uncertain about who Jesus is, or was it, in fact, the followers of John? Maybe they were uncertain, so John thought, rather than me tell them, I'll send them with the question to Jesus, let Jesus give the answer, and that way, just as I am sure, they can then become sure too. It's a little bit hard to say which way we go on that. Think about John himself. Earlier, when he was there at the Jordan baptizing, Jesus came toward him. That's where we have the famous line that John said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." So at that point, John had no question as to who Jesus is. And then when Jesus was baptized, later on in John chapter 1, John said that he saw the Holy Spirit come down upon him and remain on him, a very significant thing. So John not only said significant things, but he witnessed significant things. Think about him being there when Jesus was baptized. So you have the Son of God there, the third person of the Trinity comes down upon him, and God the Father speaks from heaven. Such an awesome thing, confirming who he is. So had John become uncertain? Well, think about it. John being the greatest prophet, the one leading the way for the very Son of God, boldly proclaiming the Word of God, and now he's in a miserable prison, maybe knowing that eventually the end of his life would come, and maybe he's trying to add this up and thinking about who he is as far as what was prophesied, and how he tried to live the most godly life he could and say all God wanted him to say, and now here he is suffering in such a way. Could that have caused him to ask Jesus this question? We're not quite certain, but God wants us to know that when times are difficult, even for us, he doesn't want us to question. He wants us to be sure. Even if right now it doesn't seem quite understandable, he wants us to know that he loves us, he is in control, and if we could only see the bigger picture, we would know how this little piece of our life fits into the puzzle and how God's going to work it all out in a wonderful way. If we are sure that Jesus is the Messiah, let's rejoice in that. If we're not quite sure, let's listen to the answer that Jesus gives to the question that John has asked. So going on in our text, Jesus answered the two disciples that John had sent. Let me just pause and explain real quick. So when we think about Jesus, Jesus had disciples, he had followers. So he was a rabbi, and these followers of his were learners. They were learning what he taught, learning about how he lived, so that they could do the very same thing. Well, John, he was also a teacher, a rabbi, so he had people following him. So we have his disciples, and I can imagine that at some point, all of his disciples became also the followers of Jesus. We're also disciples, so we are following our Lord Jesus Christ. We're learning from him. We're understanding more about him and how he lived so that we can then become that same way. The greatest compliment a student can give to the teacher is for the student to become like the teacher, not only in what he knows, but then how he proceeds in his life. May God help us to be such followers of our Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus said to these two men, he said, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. So the things you have heard that I have done, go tell John about that. And even the things that your own eyes have witnessed, go tell John about that too," he was saying. So what are some of those things? Well, the blind receive their sight. As recorded in Matthew 12, a demon-oppressed man who was blind and mute was brought to Jesus, and he healed him. As we think about the day and age in which we live, there are seemingly modern medical miracles happening a lot. People are diagnosed with a very serious thing, and through medicine or surgery or other means, they are healed. It's an amazing thing. But we're talking about something completely different here. We're talking about people having various ailments where back at that time, they would never, ever get better. And then Jesus went on and gave his answer, the lame walk. As recorded in Matthew 15, they brought to Jesus the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many others, and he healed them. He didn't give them medicine so that over a period of weeks or months they might get better, but just like that, they were better. It was an amazing, amazing thing. Lepers are cleansed. As recorded there in Luke chapter 17, there were 10 lepers, and Jesus cleansed all 10. Sadly, only one came back to say thank you, but he cleansed all 10. The deaf hear. As recorded in Mark chapter 7, after Jesus healed a deaf man, the crowd responded, "He even makes the deaf hear." They were so amazed by that reality. The dead are raised up. As recorded in Matthew 9, Jesus took the dead girl by the hand, and the girl arose. Remember, that's the one where Jesus said, "Don't worry, she's not dead, she's sleeping." They didn't believe a word of that. They knew she was dead. But yet, God wants us to understand that when we're dealing with God to us, it's as if people are sleeping, because when Jesus comes back on the last day, he's going to take all people and raise them up. We can't do it, but he can, and he will when he comes again. That should give us great hope for our loved ones who have gone before us. Yes, their bodies have died, but it is a temporary situation. So let's not despair forever and ever. It is temporary, and the day is coming where Jesus will raise all of them up again. What an awesome day that will be. And then Jesus said another way that you can know I am the coming one is that the poor have good news preached to them. So in Matthew chapter 5, we think about the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. We think about the Beatitudes that Jesus shared. And the first Beatitude, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And then Jesus said, "And blessed is the one who is not made to stumble by me." The idea here is, blessed is the one who was not caught in a trap because of me. It's like making a trap and putting some kind of a mechanism in it so when the animal went into the trap, he would hit some kind of a stick and the door would go shut and now he'd be trapped. People are blessed if they're not caught in such a situation. And thinking about John, Maybe he was on the verge of being caught in such a situation, thinking about what I shared earlier. Here he is, this great prophet. Not that he thought of himself in that way, but truly he was. So a great prophet in trying to do the will of God as best he could, and now he's in a miserable situation. Maybe he thought that because of my great position, I'm going to kind of be the right-hand man of Jesus throughout his ministry, and this is going to be a wonderful thing, and now he ends up in a miserable prison. You can see what I bolded there or tried to highlight in your service folder. No matter the degree or longevity of our struggles, let us be certain that we are saved through Jesus and we will be blessed forever. Sometimes we can come to other conclusions, but we have to set aside our feelings and we have to go with the facts and know God's word will not fail. Going on now to the prophet John, we pick up in verse 7, it says, "And they," talking about John's two disciples, "as they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John." Jesus is going to say some important things here that will be good for us to know about John, and then we can make application even in our own lives. So Jesus said to them, "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind?" Jesus is going to ask that question three times about what they went out to see. He wants them to think about that, to ponder that. There are various places in the Bible where it talks about great benefit coming to us when we meditate on the Word of God day and night. Difficult to do in a world like we live in today, but God wants us to know that there is still great benefit in that. If we could figure out how to shut down our computer or put our phone on silence or to shut off the TV and be able to just ponder the Word of God for a period of time each day, you would be so surprised at how God will open our hearts and minds to understand it in ways that we never saw before. We will be blessed by that. We will rejoice in that. We will make application to our lives. We'll be excited about sharing it with others. I challenge you to give that a try, even this week. So thinking about John, was he like a reed shaken by the wind? No way. A reed shaken by the wind, that would mean that John would be swaying back and forth, basically telling the people what they want to hear. Was that John? No way, not at all. John was the one who was going to stand on the Word of God, and you can like it or not, he's not going to waver to the left, he's not going to waver to the right, he's going to be right there on the Word of God no matter what. Jesus is reminding them, that is what you went out to see. In other words, in the city, you have guys that are wavering back and forth all the time, trying to gain something from the people. But John, though, no, none of that at all. He's going to tell you the truth no matter what. And he did. And then Jesus said, "What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who wear soft clothing are in kings' houses." John, if he wanted to please the king, he maybe could have lived in the house of the king and been dressed in king's clothing and been a very important person. But what did John do? Did he please the king? He did the opposite. He rebuked the king in a very strong and public way for not following the word of God. So no soft clothing for John. He had the opposite, and eventually he's going to lose his head because of what he said. Verse 9, "What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you," Jesus said, "and more than a prophet. This is John, of whom it has been written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you.'" Think about that statement I just read. So who is speaking there? "Behold, I send my messenger before your face." So we have God the Father talking to God the Son, about the sending of John to prepare the way for him. So it's interesting to see this conversation between the Father and the Son about what is yet to come. Think about how amazing this is, that about 700 years earlier, God spoke through the prophet Isaiah to tell about the coming prophet John. So you have God speaking through one prophet to tell about another prophet yet to come. Isaiah, such a great prophet, and yet pointing ahead to the great prophet John, who would be that final one who would prepare the way for the promised Savior. We have to realize how monumental these things are if you think about the perfect world, the fall into sin, the promise, and then 4,000 years finally culminating in John coming and being that one to prepare the way. Of course, all the special things with John, with Zacharias and Elizabeth being older, and yet God blesses them with a child, and all the other miracles that are surrounding this whole thing. So John's arrival and his preparing of the way for the Savior, those were huge things. Because of those things, many went out to see John. Why did they go? Lenski gave this answer, a three-part answer. He said they went out to hear him in his proclamation with their own ears. They didn't want to just hear it from someone else. They wanted to get it with their own ears. Number two, they went out to let him move them to repentance. It's as if they knew they were in trouble. They knew they were not honoring God, and they wanted God to work in their lives. They wanted to be different. And then number three, they went out to the baptism for the remission of sins. They wanted to know that their sins were forgiven. They wanted to know that they were okay with God. Whether they live or die, it's going to be okay. They wanted to know such things. And then it goes on in verse 11, Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist, yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." So John was the greatest in that he was the one prophesied by Isaiah to prepare the way for the Christ. So very great in that regard. But yet he was also much less because he did not witness the miracles that Jesus performed. But even more than that, he was put to death before he saw Jesus suffer and die and rise. So those are some of the reasons why we are in a greater category than he is. Because he lived and died prior to those things, he didn't know about them, so we are so blessed. We're able to look back and know all that we know and see how it all fits together in a wonderful, wonderful way. And then in verse 12 it says, "From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of the heavens has been advancing with triumphant force, and intense men grasp it quickly. For all the prophets in the law prophesied until John, and if you are willing to accept it, he is Elijah who is to come." Consider this explanation that's found in God's word to the nations. It says, those words, talking here about verse 12, those words refer to men who act decisively on something they know or believe to be true. So we could relate that a little bit to what I said earlier. If you knew for certain that a particular stock was going to go from $10 in a year, it would be $100. You might not even know much about the stock market, but you might say, that's going to go up 1,000%. So I'm willing to throw $1,000 in there because I know it's going to be worth a whole lot more. So you would be willing to do that if it was a sure thing. Well, here it's talking about men acting decisively because they know or believe something to be true. So with us knowing for certain that Jesus is the Messiah, that should just cause us to proceed in our lives in particular ways that are in agreement with the Bible. Then the quote goes on to say, talking now about verse 13, it says, the next verse indicates the reason these men acted decisively, namely, because the law and the prophets were beginning to convince them that the messianic age had come. So for people who lived back then and didn't know the scriptures, they might not have thought much about Jesus. But for those who knew the scriptures, they were beginning to see, oh, the scriptures say such and such, and we're seeing it coming true in his life over and over again. So God was working through his word to show people that, and they didn't want to miss out. They'd been waiting for the Messiah for 4,000 years, and now God was moving them not only to see the truth, but to act decisively and to receive him as their coming king, as their savior. Even for us, God has shown us that Jesus is the Christ. So without hesitation, the Spirit of God has enabled us to grasp the Christ and his precious gifts. It is the Word of God that God has worked through to make that difference. For people who are out in the world and say, this book is not the Word of God, that's not a good thing. Or if they agree that this is the Word of God, but they really haven't gotten into the Word of God, they're just not going to know that Jesus is the Messiah. So people need to know this book is from God. And then people need to get into it, and God will show them that they have fallen short. God will show them their need for the Christ. God will give them the Christ. So however we can, let's try to encourage people to use the Word of God. Some of you are probably thinking about buying a Christmas present for someone. And if you know someone that maybe does a fair amount of traveling, or they have a fairly long commute to work, why not get them the Bible on CD? They can put it in their car. They can listen to the Word of God while they're traveling. Various things like that you could do, various Christian-type gifts you could get them. For example, Kathy purchased some copies of the Nativity movie that we watched last Sunday. We have put together a sheet that goes with it to help people understand it better, but you can get the movie for like $4.95 or something. So what if you bought 10 of those movies and you could get a copy of that sheet from us, put it inside there with the movie, and give those out to a number of people. And if they would watch them, they would know a little bit more about the history back at that time. They would know a little bit more about God's love for us in Christ. Some people won't sit down and read a book, but they might sit down and watch a movie. So there are various ways we can try to reach people with the good news of Jesus Christ. Finally, Jesus said, "The one having ears, let him hear." So God has blessed us with physical hearing. What a great blessing. But here we're talking about spiritual hearing. We're talking about a God-given understanding of what Jesus said, a God-given faith in what Jesus said, a God-given application of what Jesus said. Let us know that John was great, but Jesus is far greater. So may Jesus always be the one in whom we trust, and may he also be at the center of our Christmas celebration. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you are the promised one. Help us to know that without any doubting at all, and then may you keep us and many others very close to you, and for those who are not close, we ask you, we beg you even now to draw them close. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Thanks for listening. If you are searching for a church, join us at Bethlehem. We are located at 7500 State Road in Parma. This is our Sunday schedule, service at 8, classes at 9:30, service at 10:45. We also have a service on Mondays at 7 p.m. For many other ways to benefit from the Bible, visit our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.